Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives, one story, one truth, one brave step at a time. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, trauma therapist and coach, and the founder here of Embrace Your Brave. Today's episode is part three of our series, When Love Becomes Control. And this is a series where we've been pulling back the layers on what abuse actually looks like, how it impacts the brain and the body, and why leaving is often more complicated than people realize. And today's episode is another important topic, and that is why strong women get caught in abuse. And let me just tell you, this is something that I see all the time. I hear it all the time. And it's so true. Strong women get caught in abusive relationships all the time. And it's not because we're weak. It's not because we're naive. It's not because we lack intelligence or insight or emotional awareness, but because of strength and empathy and endurance, especially when they're learned early in life, can be used against you in a system built on control. And so if you've ever wondered, how did I end up here? This episode is for you. And if you've been listening to this series, let me just do a quick recap. So in part one, we talked about how abuse rarely starts with cruelty. It starts with psychological layering, the small, subtle shifts that slowly change how you think, how you feel, and how you respond. Things like gaslighting, where your reality is questioned and minimized. Blame shifting, where you're always the problem. Emotional withdrawal or punishment. Inconsistent affection that keeps you off balance. Subtle control over your choices, your time, your relationships, and the slow erosion of your confidence and your intuition. And none of this happens all at once. It happens gradually, layer by layer, until the relationship feels confusing, destabilizing, and even hard to name. And in part two, we went deeper into what that kind of environment does to the brain and to the body. And we talked about how coercive control rewires the nervous system, keeping you stuck in survival, hypervigilance, fawning, disassociation, and fear. And we also explored healing tools that can help the body come back online, including accelerated resolution therapy, or ART, and the stellate ganglion block, sometimes called the SGB shot. And if those tools kind of spark your curiosity, I encourage you to go back and listen to part two. But today in part three, I want to talk about what lives underneath all of this and answer one of the most painful questions that women ask. How did I end up here? How did I, someone who is strong, capable, intelligent, get caught up in this? And when we talk about strong women, let's kind of clarify that for a minute. We're not just talking about confidence and independence. Strong women are often highly empathic. High levels of empathy, emotionally intelligent, loyal, responsible, adaptable, reflective, capable under pressure, used to carrying a lot quietly. Many strong women learned early on how to read the room, how to anticipate others' needs, how to stay regulated in the midst of chaos, and how to keep going even when it hurts. And these aren't flaws, these are survival skills. And in a controlling relationship, survival skills get weaponized. Psychological layering works because strong women don't collapse at the first sign of harm. They adjust, they accommodate, they try harder. Man, this is so true. Strong women don't give up easily. We don't give up. We're fighters. We believe in people. We see the good in them. We can hold compassion and truth at the same time, or at least we think we can. We notice the wounds. We understand where the pain came from. And we tell ourselves, if they could just heal, if they could just see themselves the way I see them, if they could just finally feel safe or finally feel loved, then maybe they would stop hurting me. Maybe they would start loving me. And let me tell you, I lived inside that hope for years. I kept believing if I just showed up with enough patience, enough love, enough understanding, something would finally click. And that belief didn't come from weakness. That belief comes from empathy, from loyalty, from a heart that genuinely wanted to help. But compassion without boundaries will always cost you yourself. And for many women, early attachment wounds or trauma bonds can make these dynamics feel even more powerful. Not because they're broken, but because their nervous system learned to attach in order to survive. So this wasn't just a belief, it was a nervous system strategy. Hope kept your system regulated. Believing that change was possible helped your body tolerate what it didn't yet feel safe enough to leave. Your nervous system wasn't asking, is this fair? It was asking, how do I survive this? And survival will always choose familiarity over freedom until safety is present. And that's not a character flaw, that's biology. Many strong women were parentified as children. They were emotionally responsible for adults. They were praised for being mature for their age. They were taught that love means managing others' emotions. So, when a partner or a friend slowly hands you their chaos or their insecurity or their rage, it doesn't always register as danger. It registers as familiar. And familiarity can feel like safety, even when it isn't. And this is conditioning, not consent. Abuse targets capacity, not fragility. Abuse does not target weakness, it targets capacity. Abusive partners often choose women. Listen to this now, this is important. They often choose women who can tolerate high stress, who will self-reflect instead of accuse, who can function while hurting, and who appear strong, making them less likely to be believed. Strong women don't fall apart right away. And that ability to keep going, to hold everything together, is exactly what allows abuse to deepen quietly over time. That is the psychological layering. And strong women are often socialized to internalize failure. So instead of asking, why is this happening to me? They often ask, what am I missing? What do I need to work on? Maybe if I explain it better, maybe it'll change. Abuse thrives in people who believe that self-improvement can fix relational harm. And this keeps the nervous system locked in to that fawn mode. Trying harder instead of getting safer. And insight doesn't override your trauma responses. And love doesn't cancel coercive control. And strength doesn't protect you from nervous system wiring. You didn't stay because you're weak. You stayed because leaving required your nervous system to do something that it wasn't yet resourced to do. Clarity doesn't automatically create safety. And awareness doesn't automatically create exit capacity. But none of this means you're broken. Whew, we've kind of covered a lot today. I'm hoping that this brings some awareness to you, some compassion to you. You weren't targeted because you're weak. You're taken advantage of because you're strong. And that loyalty and that compassion and that grace and that empathy that you possess is taken advantage of and it's weaponized against you. It doesn't make it bad, it just makes it vulnerable when it's in the hands of an abuser or when it's in the hands of someone who is unsafe and doesn't mind bringing you harm. So before we end, I want you to hear this. If you stayed, it doesn't mean you failed. If you stayed, it doesn't mean you failed. If you hoped, it doesn't mean you were foolish. If you tried to love someone into healing, can I get an amen? It doesn't mean you were wrong. It means you're human. It means you have a heart. It means you learned how to survive in ways that once protected you. And you don't have to use those strategies forever. Healing isn't about becoming stronger than you already are. It's about becoming safer inside your own body, inside your own life. You don't need to prove anything. You don't need to endure anything else. You are allowed to choose yourself now. And if this stirred something in you, that matters. And if you haven't listened to part one and part two, I encourage you to go back and listen. I hope they help you put language to what you've lived through and show you a path towards healing. This one just felt important to me, guys, because I sit with women every day, and many of them have just believed the lies that there's something wrong with them, or they believe the lies that they're not good enough or that they're weak. And it's not true. The truth is, you are so strong and so brave. And whoever this person is that is doing this to you can never be you. They will never possess what you have. And so they're trying to take it from you. But the more you educate yourself, the more you empower yourself, the stronger and safer you will become. You are not the problem. And like we always end, let me just remind you of this. You matter. Your story matters. Your pain matters. Your voice matters. Your dreams matter. And you're not that girl anymore.
Hey, friend, just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing.
Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.